The question today is, how can I know when the Lord is speaking to me? This is part two of this question. I've said that there's a lot of voices that's speaking to us in the world. There's the voices of Hollywood telling you everything's okay. There's the voice of your family, the voice of flesh, the voice of false preachers that's telling you, come as you are, just pray this prayer and everything will be all right. There's the voice of conscience, though, telling you, and creation telling you that you need the Lord, but there's the voice of Satan that steps in trying to deceive you, to keep you in the error. But a lot of voices, and I just mentioned a few there. You may have more that you think of, but they're voices of strangers that John says that the sheep of God's sheep does not follow because they don't know those voices. Well, but yet there's the voice of the shepherd he also mentioned, and he says the sheep follow them. Now, the Bible has much to say about his voice. We said that his voice is powerful. He spoke the world into existence because 10 times in the book of Genesis it said, God said, and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He could forgive sin by speaking. Only he can do that. No priest on this earth can do that. Only he can. In John 5:8, he told the pool man by the pool of Bethesda, he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. So when he spoke, lepers were cleansed and blind were made to heal and dead was raised and the saved, lost was saved. So even in the end time, the Lord's going to speak and blood's going to flow in the Megiddo and the unholy Trinity will be rendered ineffective at that time. Why? Because his voice is powerful. But yet it's full of compassion. In other words, and we said he speaks to us, and I know, how do I know that he's speaking to me? Well, I said he speaks to us by circumstances, and his circumstances always come right on time. Sometimes we give the devil credit for those circumstances, but I want to say this. Many times they're of the Lord, and even if the Lord allowed the devil to do them, Romans 8:28 is still true. In other words, all things work together for good. They may not be good within themselves, and circumstances may not be good, but they work together for good and for God's glory. So circumstances speak to our hearts. Also, I said that God speaks to us by confirmation. In other words, he confirms what he's already said. And you just need to wait upon that until whenever you think the Lord's spoken to you, you need to wait till it's confirmed by another witness. Because it said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. I also dealt with the fact of the peace of God. That means that something in tranquility of spirit and soul, something inside just clicks. As God puts together and speaks to your heart, you just know it's right. You know it's from the Lord. And therefore, he speaks to us by those things. And also, we'll go a little further today. God speaks to us by godly counsel. Of Philippians chapter 11, verse number 14, he said, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In other words, we need counsel. Now, counsel is advice. It means instruction. And I want to tell you, you can find a lot of advice out here in this world. Men will try to tell you what they believe and what their opinions are. But if you look long enough, you'll even find somebody to tell you what you want to hear about a certain situation. But that kind of advice, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about advice that's God-directed, God-sent, and God-given. That's God's. That kind of advice is the Lord speaking to you. And then also there's the preaching, the preaching of God's Word. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, he said, despise not prophesying. Now, prophesying here in the New Testament time means an act of foretelling what the Lord's already written down. It's not foretelling something new. If you've got something new, it's not true. Because the Bible's been complete, and the Bible warns us in the book of Revelation, don't add to or take away from it. So you realize something as we think about this. He's saying, despise not preaching, despise not foretelling, despise not prophesying. But he goes on to say in verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, don't despise preaching, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. In other words, you examine it. You sift it through the sifter, if you please. And then you need to throw away that which is bad. You see, and hold fast that which is good. Now, the world thinks preaching is foolishness. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In other words, the world thinks it's foolish to stand up and preach the Word of God, but God said it's the power of God. Unto us who are saved, unto the sheep who know the voice of the Lord. I'll grant you that a lot of what's called preaching today is foolishness. It's not right. It's just not what God would have you to hear. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse number 14, the Lord told Jeremiah, He said, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name." Now you notice, in my name. A lot of things are done in the name of the Lord, and He gets credit for a lot of things, but He said, they're prophesying lies. They're prophesying untruth. And He said, "I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart." In other words, it's not the voice of the Lord because they're prophesying lies is what it talks about. Now, if that was true in Jeremiah's day and the time he was upon this earth, how much more will it be true today? Listen, real preaching is the Lord speaking, but false preaching is error, and it leads you astray. It's not the voice of the Lord. And you've got to have a ear to hear the true preaching. You've got to have an ear to hear that. Let him that hath an ear hear. I'm thankful for an ear to hear. How does the Lord speak to me, or to you might say? Well, another way the Lord speaks to you is by the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, many people don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't want to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. But folks, you'll never be saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. People try to label the Holy Spirit as a force, as an it. But I want to tell you, He's a person, and He speaks. He speaks clearly. He'll even speak to your heart and verify something. He'll confirm some things that the Lord's already spoken to you about. Well, Acts chapter 13, verse number 2, we find they were the church at Antioch was trying to establish who would be the missionaries to send out for the missionary work. And they had a group of men there. They were praying and fasting over them. And it says, verse 2 says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said," He spoke clearly to them, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." In other words, He spoke to the New Testament church and that may not have been an audible voice as far as audible, but inside their heart, He spoke to them so clearly that they knew the Lord had spoke to them. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit does speak to you in clarity. He does do that at times now. But the Bible says we must try the spirits. Why? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You've got to try the spirits. You've got to test the spirits because, listen, the devil is raging today and rampant today. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." In other words, the devil will come and tell you things, and it looks like it's truth. He'll quote enough scripture to make you believe it's truth, and yet it's error. And so the devil's a copycat, and he copies what God does. God sends out the Holy Spirit. He sent out, and the devil sends out his demons with a message to deceive you, and his spirits are liars just like him. Therefore, you have to test the spirit to see which one is speaking to you. But the Holy Spirit is God, and He does speak to you. Another way that the Lord speaks to you, and this is a seventh one I want to use, that's through the Scripture, through the Word of God, through the Bible. Now, the Old Testament and the New Testament is the Lord speaking to you. Every word is for you, even if though every word's not spoken to you, even Old Testament time. I mean, some people today want to do away with the Old Testament and say it's not good. You try to prove something by the Old Testament, and they'll say, "Well, that's the Old Testament," and they want to go to the New Testament, and yet they don't understand the New Testament even. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old. Paul, when he went into town, he always went to the synagogue because there they had a foundation of the Old Testament where they could understand some things. And folks, our problem today in our church is we don't know enough about the Old Testament to understand it, and as a result, we don't have any fuel for fire, as expression is, nothing for God to work with. And we need to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, "Search the Scripture, for in them," and by the way, the only Scripture they had was the Old Testament Scripture, "for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life." So therefore, we need to search the Scripture. In fact, he said, study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, "To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, every word in the Old Testament and the New Testament is for you, even though it's not spoken to you. For instance, we can go back to the book of Genesis, and we find Abraham there in the book of Genesis, chapter number 13, and this is after he got in the land of Canaan, after he'd separated from Lot. There the Lord spoke something to him, and he said in Genesis 13:14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place whence thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I'll give it unto thee." In other words, he said, he spoke that to Abraham. You see, that was Abraham. That wasn't spoken to me directly. In other words, I heard a man one time on the radio some years ago when I was traveling down to Florida, and through the night hours, I heard him speak of the fact that God wants you to have land. He wants you to possess land. And he used this promise here to show that you needed to have land. Then he took another promise that's along the basic same line, where he was speaking directly to, say, Abraham or someone about the promise that land to, and he said he wanted you to have land. That's not so. That promise was spoken to Abraham, or Abram at that time. His name had not been changed, and it wasn't spoken to us. You see, now that doesn't mean it's wrong to own land, but Jesus himself would have been a failure if that be the case, because the Bible said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place where to lay his head. He didn't own anything upon this earth. So you see, that word was spoken to Abram, and I can't claim that as the Lord speaking that promise to me, but I know that it is for me. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, all Scripture, that means Old Testament and New Testament, is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God-breathed from the inner being of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, when we're talking about how the Lord speaks to you, I want to say this. We've mentioned seven things thus far, but the seventh one is the Scripture. And I want to say the Scripture is the bottom line. They are the filter through which all other ways the Lord speaks to you can be filtered and tested. And they're witnesses you need for something to be established in your life. The Scripture is the main way. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.